A Lifting Up for the Downcast by William Bridge. Banner of Truth 2020. 371 pages. A brief book summary from Books at a Glance by Steve West. This book is part of the Banner of Truth's box set of Puritan classics. Bridge's original work was first published in 1649. 13 Sermons on Psalm 42:11. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. Sermon 1, The Good Man's Peace. Sermon 2, True Peace May Be Interrupted. Sermon 3, Saints should not be discouraged, whatever their condition be. Sermon 4, A Lifting Up in the Case of Great Sins. Sermon 5, A Lifting Up in the Case of Weak Grace. Sermon 6, A Lifting Up in the Case of Miscarriage of Duties. Sermon 7, A Lifting Up in the Case of Lack of Assurance. Sermon 8, A Lifting Up in the Case of Temptation. Sermon 9, A Lifting Up in the Case of Desertion. Sermon 10, A Lifting Up in the Case of Affliction. Sermon 11, A Lifting Up in the Case of Unserviceableness. Sermon 12, A Lifting Up in the Case of Discouragements Drawn from the Condition Itself. Sermon 13, The Cure of Discouragements by Faith in Jesus Christ. Summary. Sermon 1, The Good Man's Peace. In this verse, we read of the sad discouragements we can experience and also the remedies against them. The psalmist is under a burden, but chides himself and calls himself to wait in hope. It is implied that, ordinarily speaking, saints will be at peace, but this peace can be interrupted. There is no reason, however, for the saints to ever be discouraged in their circumstances. Saints ordinarily have peace because God their Father comforts them and creates peace for them. He pardons their sin and gives peace to those whose minds are stayed upon him, because Christ purchased their peace and pardon. Part of the ministry of Christ as the servant of the Lord was to bring comfort to those who were broken. Christ is King, but he is meek and merciful. One of the fundamental tasks of the Spirit is to give comfort and peace, fulfilling this desire of Christ for us. There is a foundational peace created in justification, even if our sense of it fades and we doubt. Those who are godly can have internal peace, even when in external difficulty. False peace will confirm us in our sins, but true peace confirms us in grace. No human being has the power to speak peace to a soul and create peace within it, but this is a work that God performs. God speaks peace to us by showing us his great love and the perfect work of Christ. When you mourn for sin and need comfort, apply to Christ for mercy, forgiveness, and peace. Those who are weak and doubting should lean on strong Christians for support. Take every small token of God's love and encourage your soul that more is coming. Sermon 2, True Peace May Be Interrupted. Although the saints have internal peace, it is possible that they can become discouraged and cast down. Saints can be so far cast down that they feel the pain in both body and soul. Job and Jeremiah despaired of life and wished they had never been born. In general, we can know that God allows this suffering for our greater good. God knows what each child needs to grow, and he knows how to teach us to appreciate peace and his presence, loving him above all else. Comfort will only hold when we find it from grace and Christ within, and not from external blessings. Some people try to find encouragement by looking at random Bible verses, but this is not how to learn the promises of God. When believers feel discouragement, they should remember the former times of God's blessing, when they felt His presence and joy, and they should know that that experience was real. Do not be in a rush to have peace restored, but wait on the Lord, reading Scripture and praying. To regain peace, do what you did for justification. Lean fully and solely on Christ in faith. Fill your mind with Christ through the Scriptures, and then your mind will not have as much room for fears and temptations. When peace is restored, be thankful and praise God. Do not wait for Satan to attack you, but go on the offensive against him. Entrust your peace and comfort to Christ, and having received it from him, spend it all for his sake. Sermon 3. Saints should not be discouraged, whatever their condition be. This psalm shows that David had many discouragements, and he was cut off from the ordinances and temple. Yet a godly man has no reason to succumb to a spirit of discouragement. In nature and by natural reasoning, we may see many reasons for discouragement, but the spiritual person transcends them. There are numerous afflictions, but they are the means to the end of a good harvest. No matter what happens in this world, God is our portion and inheritance. At the lowest moment for the disciples, Jesus told them not to let their hearts be troubled. Search the Scriptures. There is not one affliction for which there is not a promise from God that He can provide comfort. No matter what the discouragement we meet with, God can provide us with a greater encouragement. In the wilderness of hardship, God provides, and through our troubles, He leads us to the land of promise. Even the ability to pray and cry out to God is a mercy. It may seem like it will be dark forever, but it is the darkness of a cloud that passes over. Do not let darkness trump the promises of God, and look for beams of light that may break through. We do not live by feeling, but by faith. It is a Christian's duty to begin and end with faith. Christians have no reason to be cast down and discouraged, and giving in to this feeling rejoices Satan and grieves the Lord. If you would not be discouraged in any condition, do not let conditions be the support of your comfort, but rather build only on Christ. We must also be content to stay in any affliction God ordains, knowing that He is in control. Labor to mortify your self-love, since that is what is at the bottom of murmuring and discontent. Sermon 4. A Lifting Up in the Case of Great Sins. There are different reasons why saints can feel discouraged. Sometimes the sense is generated by gross sins. Yet our sin is not to be a true reason for discouragement, since it itself is a sin. Saints should not be discouraged, since they know that in Christ they will never be condemned. Our sins cannot ultimately separate us from God. They may cause Him to hide His face, but we are not sundered from Him. Regardless of the sin that we fall into, God will use it to lead us to greater grace. Even the tremendous sin of Adam, with all of its consequences, was forgiven. Christ taught that every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven, except blasphemy of the Spirit. Sin gives us cause to be humbled, but not cause to be discouraged. Our sin is great, but God's mercy is greater. Even when we decline, revolt, and backslide, God does not put us away. When a godly soul sees how God works good out of their sin, they are greatly humbled. When someone is humbled, their sorrow is their sin and dishonor to God. But when someone is discouraged, their sorrow is their condition. True humiliation is a true friend of joy and leads to rejoicing in God. This is a rule for Christians, that a man is to be humbled for his sin, although it be never so small, but he is not to be discouraged for his sin, though it be never so great. Take the commandments and the promises together. It is God's prerogative to save, so we should never write ourselves off as hopeless or as reprobates. Every sin can be traced to unbelief, so believe and trust. Sermon 5, A Lifting Up in the Case of Weak Faith. Some Christians grow discouraged when they sense the weakness of their faith and grace, and they see the strength of other believers. There are indeed many disadvantages to being weak in grace, but every believer has sufficient grace and wisdom from God to be saved and thus to avoid discouragement. A weak Christian may fall more easily and take longer in rising. The more a Christian lives by faith and not by sight, the more God is glorified. Those with weak faith will only accomplish small things for God. Even still, the weak Christian has no cause for discouragement, since our weakness inclines God to mercy, and we have as much justification as even the strongest believer. The Beatitudes do not have blessings for the strong and rejoicing, but for the poor and mourning. Strong faith may be commended, but Christ condescends to love those who are weak. In the Gospels, Christ often tells his disciples that their fear is owing to weak faith. He says this to correct them, but also to show them that there is no need for their fear and discouragement. The Spirit of adoption is a pledge and promise that the little comfort you may feel today is a guarantee of the fullness of joy forevermore in glory. The spiritual battle is not always to the strong, but God gives the weak special victory. Grace is a little rudder, but it can turn a great ship. A Christian may lay their head on Delilah's lap and have their strength weakened, but sin cannot annihilate grace and the new creation. We may be weak in comparison to others, but stronger than we used to be. Christ died for sinners, and he promises not to break the bruised reed. He calls his ministers to feed his lambs and take tender care of them. Do not grow discouraged because of weakness, for that will only make you weaker. Sermon 6, A Lifting Up in the Case of Miscarriage of Duties. Sometimes Christians grow discouraged in their failings or lack of success in discharging their duties. For example, we may try to pray but find our hearts unengaged and our minds distracted. This is a reason for grief, but not for discouragement. In the covenant of God's grace, God judges our desires and wills, even when we fail to perform. We may not have great gifts, but Christ himself lives inside of us. God loves the plain man, and his heart is open to his prayer. Sometimes it is the beggar who asks best. Sometimes it is good to bemoan the hardness of our heart. God may even cause us to be mute in our legalistic performance so that he can bring us into true grace. Do not forget that prayer is not a pouring out of words, but a pouring out of the soul to God. We can be humbled under our distractions, but not cast down by them. A loving father is moved to pity at the weaknesses of his child. There are times when we don't think God is answering our prayer, but he is teaching us to wait on him while he weans our heart from the thing we thought we needed. No matter how weak and poor and hard our hearts are, what encouragement there is in the mercies of God. The ungodly come to God and he remembers their sin, but when his children come to him, he remembers the covenant of grace. The more difficult the duty, the greater the obedience, and the sweeter it is to God. Simply leave the event and success of our spiritual duties with God. Sermon 7, A Lifting Up in the Case of Lack of Assurance. There are believers who feel no certainty of their share in Christ, and they are unsure if they will be saved or damned. Assurance leads to prayer, and lack of assurance leads to many temptations and sins. Nevertheless, lack of assurance is not the same as lack of salvation. Those who are shaken by unbelief come to trust in Christ and not their own righteousness. If we fail to perform the condition of conditional promises, do not forget that our covenant head, the last Adam, fulfilled every condition on our behalf. Sometimes God draws us to himself with sweetness, and sometimes with the threatening of the law. But the main thing is that we are brought to him. We see with Joshua and David that it is possible for godly persons to lose sight of the promises of God. Threats may be used to prompt us to obedience, and then the threat is withdrawn, but a promise is never withdrawn. Do not despair that you are a reprobate and cast off, for Scripture never teaches that a man can know that his situation is hopeless. Hard-hearted sinners are invited to come to God for salvation. Faith and assurance are not the same thing, and it is possible for someone with strong faith to go through protracted times of doubting and struggling. David often prayed to God out of a low condition, desiring an upright heart so that he could once again praise God. In due time, God grants assurance to those who need it and seek it. When they long not merely for comfort, but to be restored, so that they can praise. Embark into the ocean of God's love and Christ's acceptance and merit. Do not despair that you will never have assurance, and know that obedience, when there is no assurance, is very precious to God. Sermon 8, A Lifting Up in the Case of Temptation. It is surely a great trial and affliction for a godly person to be assailed by temptations, even when they do not consent to them. Satan tempts the saints, and so the fact that we are facing temptations points to our standing with God. Our Father is greatly moved to mercy when his children are exposed to temptations. In union with Christ, whenever Christ was tempted, he overcame, and so do we in our connection with him. Satan tempted Christ himself to try to doubt that he was the Son of God. There may be terrible things we are tempted to do, things too terrible to name, including blasphemy and suicide. But Scripture does not say that such things only befall unbelievers. We cannot hinder Satan from tempting us and placing horrific thoughts in our minds, but we are not guilty on the basis of his work. The more we tremble, the more likely we will be to go to Christ. When a believer is tempted and falls, he is then tempted to doubt his belief. But when the ungodly sin, they are tempted to excuse themselves. God does not measure us for eternity on the basis of our low times and temptation. In a covenant of works, one sin may cast us off, but not so in the covenant of grace. So do not despair. You will not be discouraged as long as you remember how much Christ is laboring for tempted souls. Philosophy and moral rules are a medicine that are not strong enough for the disease. Look to Christ's blood. Sermon 9, A Lifting Up in the Case of Desertion. There's nothing more painful to the gracious heart than the felt loss of the presence of God and the face of Christ. Other lights can be removed, but this is the loss of the sun which leaves us in total darkness. Nothing is more grievous, and although God may remove himself from our vision, he will never fully remove his presence, and he never fully removes his power and grace. Christ may forsake his people for a moment, but his design is loving, and it is to draw them even closer to himself and away from the world in the end. No matter how dark it may seem, we are children of the light, and it is always light enough for us to do our Father's work. There are times when God is angry with us, but his discipline of us shows us his love. It is usual that when saints are afflicted with spiritual desertion, they think that God will never again return to them. This condition always seems like it will last forever. God gives us the promises that he will never forsake his people forever. Christ will never abandon what he has purchased and owns. Nobody who has Christ as their highest good and wants him desperately will ever fail to have him. A present dispensation is not the way that we are to measure God's eternal affection. Do not open your ears to the words of Satan, but open them to the words of Christ. Even without visions and sights, we can live by faith. Wait for Christ, and he will gather you into his arms. Sermon 10, A Lifting Up in the Case of Affliction. Often it is external afflictions that cause the people of God to feel internal discouragement. No matter what reverses occur and what enemies we have, Christ tells us to take heart because he has overcome the world. All things are ours in Christ, including afflictions and trials, and they come from his hand for our good. Do not be discouraged with afflictions that come from the divine love, since God is treating you as children and purifying you. When there is great affliction, there is also much grace and support. Sometimes afflictions show us the true state of our hearts and reveal to us how much we need God. Trials produce an eternal weight of glory, and so why be discouraged when under them? God may take away good things from us because they occupy the wrong place in our hearts, or because we do not have the strength to use them properly. It is through the persecutions of enemies that we can learn valuable lessons of grace. In Scripture, there are many examples of saints who suffered sore trials and afflictions, and it was through these experiences that they came to know God best. Even when the enemies of God's people kill them physically, they cannot kill their souls. Always remember that there is a time coming when God himself will wipe away every tear from our eyes, and every sorrow and pain will be removed forever. The love of Christ is so wonderful that it is worth being loved by him, even if you are hated by everyone else. The more we are weaned from the world, the less temporal afflictions will discourage us. In trials, look more upon what is good for you than what it is that is against you. Sermon 11, A Lifting Up in the Case of Unserviceableness. There are some who feel cast down because they are not as serviceable as others. It is important to remember that there are spheres of service, and that someone may be more serviceable in some spheres than in others, for example, politically, in the church, or in the home. Every Christian is a member of the body of Christ, and there are different roles that need to be filled. There are planets that are greater than the moon, but they are not more serviceable to Earth. God is the one who determines what his servants will do, and what kind of vessel they will be. There are special services that God gives people to do, and he also lays aside his servants for certain periods of time. Sometimes God uses the very weakest to bring about great works. It is only by the Spirit that we can have success, and the Spirit gives different gifts and also works in a wide variety of ways. Yet no matter what work we are called to do, God's Spirit will give us what we need. Moses shows us how many troubles can attend following God's call. Yet, some will say that they are called, but unfruitful and unserviceable. Leave the judging of the fruit and success not with yourself, but with the Lord. Sometimes the seed is planted and seems dormant, but growth will come. You are judged for your labor and work, not for your success. Walking and working in the way of love is a high calling, regardless of the specific task. If for a season you have no public work to do, use the time to examine your soul and grow closer to God. Even pagans have recognized that success without adversity often leads to the destruction of the individual. If we always excelled in our spiritual duties, we might rest on them more than we should. Leave the judgment of your work with the Lord, and know that your labor in him is not in vain. Sermon 12, A Lifting Up in the Case of Discouragements, Drawn from the Condition Itself. Some despair because of their condition. Yet, a man's condition may be very bad, and yet the man himself may be very good, and God may be good to him. The rich man and Lazarus, and the life of Paul, who suffered more after conversion than before, show this clearly. Our Father is infinite wisdom and love. So whatever our condition is, it is good for us. The boundary lines are fallen in pleasant places, and our inheritance is sure. Live not by the condition itself, but by God's call for you to be in it. There are great burdens with prosperity, and poor believers have God's promises and look forward to an eternal inheritance. Do not live for this world and judge by it. God will often lead us through different conditions to show us his love and grace from different angles. For some, it is not their external condition, but the poverty of their soul and how little they seem to benefit from the ordinances that bother them. Different people have different abilities to remember truths they have heard. So do not despair if your memory is poor. Even to sense your deadness is a sign of life. A good person may be unprofitable in his own eyes, yet God will use them for good in the lives of others. Christ can save hypocrites, and many of the godly have felt that that is what they are. True hypocrites do not long for Christ. God has elected a fixed number to be saved, but the elect can have assurance of their election by believing in Christ and seeing God's work in their lives. Particular atonement, rather than a universal atonement, actually provides more comfort to believers. We cannot die for our sins if Christ died for them, and his intercession is on the basis of his death. Any doctrine that makes the grace of God depend on us or conditions, and any doctrine that says we can fall away from Christ, is not a friend of assurance. Do not be deceived into thinking that your condition is unlike anyone else's condition. Since our condition is not sufficient to make us discouraged if we are truly in Christ, seek diligently to ensure that you are in the faith. Lay down all of your sins and come to Christ. If you are godly, lift up your head and do not be cast down, but rather walk with the Lord. Sermon 13, The Cure of Discouragements by Faith in Jesus Christ. We have seen that there is no reason for the saints to be discouraged, and the psalmist tells us that the antidote is to put our hope in God and wait upon him. Hoping in God is to expect help from him. Faith in God is trusting him and relying on him for help. Waiting on God is to continue to expect him to help. When we trust in God, we are relying on him for something that we do not yet have or see. Scripture teaches us that God gives peace to those who trust in him. By faith in Christ, we have freedom to come boldly to God. There is a work for every season, and the work for a season of discouragement is to exercise faith. It is faith that gives us the proper perspective of things past, present, and future. Faith trusts in God, and in his name there is an answer to all of our wants and fears. God's name is strong, but it is also mercy, grace, and long-suffering. It is the work of faith to resign our entire selves to God and not to trust in ourselves. Counterfeit faith will not quiet our hearts, but there's nothing more precious than true faith. Nobody can have true belief who has not been humbled for their unbelief. If you would trust the Lord so that you are never moved, you must trust in the Lord alone. Some presume on the Lord and tempt him, but a weak soul that truly believes is secure. It is not presumption to believe, since we are commanded to do so. When you have doubts, set your eyes fully on Christ rather than on the things that cause you to doubt. When all helps fail, the hour arrives for Christ to give us aid. There are no benefits that come to the heart through doubting, but faith is beneficial in numerous ways. If you must trust Christ in the end, trust him today. We can wait for all kinds of things, so make sure you wait for the Lord. May the Lord give us the grace to put this into practice. Copyright 2022, Books at a Glance. Books at a Glance book summaries are available by subscription only, and except for brief quotes, may not be reproduced in whole or in part without express written permission.